Hello and welcome to Cloud HCM Talk Radio. We'll get the latest in cloud HCM best practices and information which are important for your Oracle Cloud HCM service. I'm Frank Howell, Director, Cloud HCM Development, and a member of the Center of Excellence team here at Oracle. And joining us for our show today is Grant Ronald, Oracle Director of Product Management. Grant started in the IT industry in 1989 as a developer on secure email and military communication systems. After 7 years, he moved to Oracle to lead the global support team for Oracle Forms, Oracle's premier application development tool on the Oracle database. After helping guide the support organization through the year 2000 preparation, he moved to the Oracle Development Organization to work on the growth and development of tools such as Oracle Forms, Java, mobile integration, and now Oracle Digital Assistant. Today, Grant leads the product management team for Oracle Digital Assistant, responsible for the successful technical adoption of Oracle Digital Assistant customers. His team runs a center of excellence to research and define best practices in digital assistant development, as well as work on one-on-one customer engagements, develop and deliver training, build tutorials, education material, and formal documentation. Grant, it's a pleasure to have you here with us on Cloud HCM Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me on the podcast, Frank.
On today's show, we will be discussing the benefits and challenges of building an enterprise Cloud HCM system when all you have are simply words. Grant, there are terms such as chatbots, digital assistant, skills. So let's start at the beginning. What is a chatbot and what is a digital assistant?
Great. Okay. Good place to start off with. So we're probably familiar with the term chatbot, any kind of computer program or computer system that you can engage with conversationally using natural language. And we have words that are, I've certainly used them interchangeably, that chatbot, digital assistant, or we're probably familiar with Alexa skills. And yeah, we mix and match those terms essentially as any computer program you can speak to. However, as we start getting into the details, we can see some differences. In Oracle, when we talk about digital assistant, we're really talking about something that's much more all-encompassing than a simple, kind of very singular chatbot. The idea that you can have a digital assistant for your whole company that knows many things, it can do many different things, interact in different ways, and also knows about you. So we can bring in maybe personalization, or ultimately the idea of digital assistant could be proactive as well. So it tells you when you might want to do things or check an HR balance or approve an expense. But yeah, I'm guilty of using the terms interchangeably anyway.
I think I am too. So what is the use case for HCM? And how will having a conversational assistant benefit employees, or for that matter, the VP of the HR organization?
So really, it's all about ease of use or ease of access. And you can imagine the situation, you think a company the size of Oracle with, whether I want to order a new laptop or get a new mobile phone or book a vacation, if I'm a new starter, you know, I've got to find the right website or the right person to speak to. And then I've got to navigate myself through maybe terminology that's maybe not familiar to me if I'm, you know, not engaging on a regular basis. The nirvana, I guess, the what we're really aiming for is, wouldn't it be great if you could just say what you want and the digital assistant would be responsible for interpreting what you're saying, routing it to the right skill or chatbot, as we mentioned earlier, and then dealing with that in the language that you're familiar with. So we're kind of turning this around from saying, you know, these are IT systems that you've got to know how to navigate, and flipping it around to saying, well, you tell me what you want. You want to book a holiday, you want to order a laptop, and I'll work out where I need to route that request. And any follow-up questions I might have, you know, we might say, well, when was the last time you renewed your phone, or when's it up, or do you have the mobile number so we can look up details on that phone? So that's really where it's that ease of access, using it in your natural language in terms that you're familiar with. And we also have the idea of, you know, a digital assistant for a company, an organization. So you can simply say, you know, hey, Oracle, book me 3 days off next week, and job done. Or Oracle order me the new laptop. We have one place to go to in order to ask these questions and hopefully get answers.
Great. And I think I'm going to have to try that for getting a new laptop here. So I'll try that out after the show. Anyway, can you talk about the impact that the recent pandemic has had on employees needing to access HR and work data?
It's been quite fascinating, I think, the change since March, certainly here in the UK where I'm based. You know, we were talking about digital transformation and digital assistance, and people were saying, yeah, we're interested in that, we're thinking about it, we might move to it. And then with the situation with the pandemic, suddenly there was all these businesses that needed to make information accessible to employees very quickly and at scale. And of course, they had the problems that there was maybe not the same amount of people in their call center, for example, being able to ask questions. So, you know, there was people working from home, so they needed to speak to their HR people and say, you know, what's the policy for working from home? Do I have to tell you if I'm sick? What happens if I'm self-isolating? How do I get VPN access? You know, can I come back into the office? Am I still going to get paid? Suddenly, all these questions, we needed a really simple way of exposing those, and certainly frequently asked questions are one of the most, well, let's call it low barriers into digital assistant, because often companies have already got these questions somewhere, you just have to find them. But certainly in the case of the, you know, with the coronavirus, that advice was changing, so we had to keep these digital assistants update and fresh with information and easily accessible. So we really saw a change that when from the kind of March onwards, we started getting a lot of companies coming to us saying, okay, we need to deploy something as quickly as possible. And we were able to do that in, for some of our customers, a matter of days, exposing digital assistants for their employees or their customers.
Yeah, that's really extremely valuable at this point in time. And I can certainly see where that would pay off for companies, being able to have their employees access important information very quickly and without having to scour around looking for it by just asking for it. So that's a great, great application there. So how does a chatbot understand language?
So this is both the exciting thing about working on chatbots and the most frustrating thing as well. Obviously, the only thing we have is language. We don't have buttons and checkboxes and drop-down lists that we have in web applications. And of course, language is massively ambiguous. You know, if you think about your humor or poetry or song lyrics, we often deliberately switch the meaning of words. We use metaphors and idioms. So the meanings of sentences are very imprecise. I mean, I wasn't sure if it's being a Brit that when I come to HQ and people talk about a bi-weekly meeting, I was never quite sure if that was, you know, every 2 weeks or twice a week. And it turns out it can be both. You know, there's also different meanings applied to the same phrases, you know, based on things like region as well. So the point being is we can't put a simple rule. We cannot train the bot or load the bot with all the possible phrases, because there's just, you know, almost an infinite number of ways people can ask a particular question or engage. So what we have to do is, because we can't define rules, this is where we use artificial intelligence, which is obviously the buzzword of the moment, but is the real, you know, kind of power behind understanding language. So what we do is, rather than try and define rules, we load our artificial intelligence engine with lots of sample phrases about how somebody might ask for a holiday, for example. Would they say, hey, you want to book some vacation? Or would they say holiday or day off or time off or PTO or whatever it might be, those different terms. And we let the model train and work out the probability that given someone saying, you know, hey, dude, I want to take next Thursday off, then we understand that that's a holiday request and we can deal with that appropriately. So ultimately, the heart of this is artificial intelligence, which gives us this what we call NLP, natural language processing.
Yeah, it's extremely interesting. And I never really thought about that, really. I don't know that maybe people don't really think about how detailed that could be. I mean, I'm thinking right now, you know, is it boot or trunk? It depends on where you live.
It's exactly, it's fascinating, it really is.
And if you say boot, is it boot like I'm wearing on my foot or boot the trunk? So, I mean, yeah, I can see how that can be extremely challenging. So, kind of continuing on with that, what in your opinion are the toughest challenges in building a digital assistant?
Well, when we engage with customers, I mean, quite often they've maybe seen the technology or some, CTOs said, like, let's trial building digital assistants. And what I tend to do is there's about four or five different kind of stages we take people through. And the first, most important thing, and it seems, I'm sometimes reluctant to explain this to people because it seems the most obvious, is first of all, decide what you want your project to be. What are you trying to achieve with a chatbot or a digital assistant? Because we've seen some that are very well implemented, but really, did it help the business? No. Didn't really. And we've seen some chatbots that are incredibly simple, but have a massive pull through, a massive effect, or a massive success factor. So first of all, what do you want to achieve? How do you think this is going to help the business? Why is it better than a web app? Is are other things? Is it because people can, do things on the move? Is it because natural language is much more kind of in sync with the use case? Those kind of things. So that's the first thing. What do you want to achieve? The second thing is what we in Oracle, but I know many other companies do the same thing, but we call it a CDX workshop. And that is, we kind of almost role play out what a conversation would look like. How does the bot start off? Does it say hi? Does it welcome you? What's its tone of voice? Is it very formal, or is it a much more kind of, younger, cool, hipper brand or whatever it might be? So we work out those, that kind of engagement, the conversation. We even come to the point that we develop a backstory of the personality of the digital assistant. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to expose that persona, but what it does do is it puts you in the mindset of, if our digital assistant was called Sally, for example, we decided we built a persona, what would Sally say? How would Sally respond to that? If a customer was upset, how would Sally deal with that upset? So we try to think of it in that kind of, human terms. And then we get into the implementation. That's the, typical development task of actually building the chatbot, programming it so it understands language, and, obviously integrating it with back-end systems, because, in the HCM example, for example, we want to book a holiday. Well, we've actually got to go into the back-end system and check you've got vacation left and book that. And then the last step is, which people often forget. They think when they deliver the digital assistant, it's time to pop the champagne. But this is where a lot of the hard work, because your digital assistant, although you've invested your efforts and blood, sweat, and tears in building it, is going to be pretty dumb in terms of language. And that's because you don't really know how people will engage with it. And it's only once you go live will people say things you didn't expect, they'll do things you didn't expect, they'll use phraseology you didn't expect. So we have this care and feeding, we call, cycle, where you put the bot live, you gather in information about how people are engaging with a bot, and you retrain the bot to make it smarter. And that is an ongoing cycle, almost the same as you would do with an employee. If you had an HR employee, you would give them training, you would give them reviews, give them feedback, and then hopefully they'd progress and get smarter and, take on more tasks.
That is extremely interesting. I mean, I never really thought about all of that, especially like the persona, and it's so much that it sounds like goes into it. I think normally you would just think, I want a chatbot. I want to type something and it's going to tell me something back. But you don't really think about all the things that have to be thought about to kind of put that into play. So very interesting. You talked a little bit about the human aspect of that. Can you talk about the user experience? How should customers address challenges like keeping the user on a happy path?
So the persona, to continue your point, persona is super important, because when you think about it, you don't have fonts and colors and graphics and all these different things. All you have are words. So things like your brand, how you deal with problems, how you deal with ambiguity are all really important elements that you can do through the personality. And you mentioned happy path. There's a phrase we use in digital assistant development about the happy path. It's easy to build a digital assistant if the user says or responds to any questions from the digital assistant exactly as you expect. Okay, so the, I don't know, holiday booking or something, or room booking, or getting an appraisal for somebody, the bot says, okay, you need to start an appraisal. Who do you want to start the appraisal for? And you give the right answer. But as you probably find with me, when I talk, I go jump topics. I go off in something else that might be interesting. I'll come back to that in a second. And that's what happens. So we might be in the middle of checking an appraisal for Frank. And then I say, oh, suddenly, who else has an appraisal at the end of the month? So in the middle of booking your appraisal, I suddenly go off and talk about something else. And then during your appraisal process, kicking off an appraisal process, I suddenly say, oh, I need to book a room with Frank and I to have a meeting. So can I book a room next Thursday in the 600 building? So suddenly I've jumped from the HCM appraisal conversation to a room booking kind of conversation. And I might say, hey, can we order some coffees for that room as well? And suddenly I'm jumping off somewhere else. And so this idea of the happy path is very simplistic because people jump around. And so if your platform can cope, as Oracle Digital Assistant can, with the conversation jumping and being able to come back to that point, or in fact, the digital assistant might say, well, look, we'll deal with that later. Let's finish this, however you're trying to develop, is super important. The other kind of things that are, I guess, challenges are, you know, dealing with complex data when all you have is words. And as I say, there's ambiguity. And I, again, only as I've spent more time on this, I realize that, you know, the difference between, you know, maybe UK English versus US English. If you say something like, I want to book a room a week on Tuesday. Now, a week on Tuesday can sometimes mean different things to different people, depending, you know, your location or your background. So how do you deal with those elements of ambiguity without having ambiguity or this disambiguation, you know, within every step where you have to confirm everything? So those are the real challenges. Some of them, as I say, the platform can deal with. Others, you have to use very clever use of words. You might confirm your understanding. So you mean Wednesday the 23rd, because you're pretty certain that's it. But give the user the option to say, no, actually, it was the week before that. It was the week before. So those are the challenges, the happy path. It's the complexity of gathering lots of information and that dealing with ambiguity in which, and it's worth mentioning that even as humans, it's okay to get things wrong and it's okay to ask for clarification. And one thing I found with people building bots is they'll say, oh, the bot got it wrong. And I would say, well, look, if I asked that question to you, would you be certain of which day I was talking about? Or if I said, get me a report, what report? It's okay sometimes for the digital assistant to say, is it the expense report or the HR report you want? And maybe it can be smart and maybe it'll say, well, look, if you're the HR manager, there's a pretty good chance it'll be the HR report. So I'll make those assumptions. And that's what I was talking about earlier, things like personalization, that the answer that I get as the HR manager might be different from the answer you get as the financials manager. But that's all part of the kind of complex deciding how the bot will engage and how to deal with all these different challenges.
Really interesting. And I'm happy to hear that digital assistant can handle multi-topic switching back and forth, because I can tell you, my wife reminds me that I do that all the time. So I guess this would be able to work for me, I guess.
It's the most natural thing to do. It really is.
So is it true that chatbots or digital assistants often get really off topic or salacious requests?
Believe it or not, yes, especially public facing. You might not get it so much in your kind of internal HCM digital assistant. But you know, there's some stories you can find on the internet of people falling in love or marriage proposals to digital assistants. I'm guessing some of it done for fun rather than seriously. But it's actually something that's quite important. There's one report I read about 40% of all traffic to a digital assistant is this small talk or off-topic chit-chat. And there's actually a good reason why you need to handle that. So let's look at the kind of the kind of small talk you can get. Swearing. So somebody swears at your bot. Now, that's actually useful to know, because if you are a bot for dealing with parcel delivery or something, and somebody swears or you detect that, that's showing frustration, or there's a good chance that's showing frustration. And therefore, you might decide, look, the bot's in a situation, we might escalate that to one of our you know, human agents to deal with, rather than try to deal with this with the chatbot. So swearing, we can make assumptions why people are doing this. People often ask, one of the most obvious questions they ask, are you a bot? Am I speaking to a bot? Is this a human I'm speaking to? Are you real? And again, that's kind of useful to let people know. We're not trying to fool the users. This isn't really like the Turing test. But if the user knows that is speaking to a digital assistant, not a real human, it kind of alters how the phrase. I mean, I think about how I ask Alexa to play music. I'm very much more precise and probably more clipped than if I was asking one of my kids to put on music, where I might, you know, be a little bit more loose in my terminology. So people are trying to find out who they're speaking to, and answering that can be useful as well. You also get, I mean, if you think about the first time you engage with a digital assistant or something like Alexa, you've got nothing that shows you what it does. I mean, one of the problems we have with these digital assistants is explaining to people what it can do. So dealing with what can you do? Can you help me with these kind of topics is a really important aspect to cover as well. And yes, as I mentioned, there are these kind of salacious or mischievous requests about, you know, proposals or marriage, or do you want to go to dinner with me? And that, again, is one of those opportunities to reinforce the bot's personality. I mean, if you can handle something like that in a non-confrontational, maybe a humorous way, it does two things. It shows that the bot's smart, which is important. And it also gives an opportunity for your company to emphasize how it's a positive aspect, its brand. And of course, get the conversation back on track. I mean, there's an example I give in training where we've got a flower ordering digital assistant, and someone asks, you know, what's the weather like? And the bot responds, It's sunny where I am, and it's a beautiful day for buying flowers. So it answers the question and then very carefully brings the user back to the purpose, which is buying flowers. So that chit chat, and it's one of the first things when people ask me to review bots, one of the first things I do is ask it things like, are you a bot? What can you do? And it's interesting how few deal with that. And that leaves you the impression that it's not smart, because it's not dealing with those basic questions.
So really interesting. And it's interesting to hear about the science behind it, right? It's just not turn it on, but there's actually, you know, a continuous review of things to optimize it. And I guess the whole AI part, right? So really interesting.
Absolutely.
So when might Oracle customers start using some of these digital assistants?
So we've got customers who are already live. I mean, one of our biggest customers we talk about is live in the UK. They're a huge parcel delivery firm. And I like their example for a number of reasons. It's a very simple use case. You've ordered something off Amazon. You want to find out why it's not been delivered, or where the delivery, or when it's due. And you have an option. You can wait on the phone 15, 20 minutes, maybe more, maybe less. And quite honestly, you get to access the same information via a live agent as the chatbot does, because you're just looking up some back-end system. Or you can go to the digital assistant and say, you know, where's my parcel? And it guides you through checking and gives you the response. And this customer is say one of my favorite examples because it's a simple use case, big impact, but they spent so much time working on personality. They had a whole backstory to the chatbot called Holly. They had a real focus on a very supportive, engaging narrative with the bot, non-judgmental when anything went wrong, obviously apologetic when maybe delivering bad news, your parcel's not delivered, whatever it might be. And that effort really shines through. And it's one of the examples I hold up that people who invest in things like the conversational design get it right, because that makes a big difference as well. But we've got loads of customers. There's a couple of universities for example, at the kind of August, September timeframe, they have this huge demand of students finding out if they've got on the right course. And that used to be literally hours on phone lines waiting to get to a call center. And now they deal with that with a digital assistant. And of course, digital assistants are great at smoothing out those spikes, because you can still have a call center, but you might have, you know, you think in like a parcel delivery firm that I mentioned, you know, they have huge spikes around the Christmas or the Thanksgiving, or in fact, in the UK, they have a big spike after Christmas because people are returning things, and digital assistants allow you to kind of smooth out those as well. But of course, one of our big customers, and it's interesting, we're obviously talking about HCM here, is that we have pre-built out of the box skills for many of our Oracle's SaaS applications, including HCM. So if you're an HCM customer today, you can have the out of the box digital assistant for HCM. And of course, you can customize that using the language and phraseology and training data that's specific to your company, should you need that as well.
Great. Thanks, Grant. That's it's good to hear that we have an added box solution for HCM customers. So thanks for pointing that out. And to kind of continue along that line, where can our listeners go to learn more about digital assistants and ODA?
So we've got a couple of sites. There's oracle.com/DA for digital assistant, which is our kind of landing page for our kind of higher level material around marketing customers, digital assistants, how to get started, all this stuff. My team have built a kind of landing page of everything we create technically, all our training material, our documentation we make publicly available, and that's available on bit.ly/ODA doc, and ODA and the D of doc are in uppercase, so that's bit.ly/ODA doc. So if you can go there, everything we produce, there's videos, tech blogs, loads of content there for learning. And that prepares a lot of our customers and partners for things like even our certification exams that they can get as well.
Great. Thank you, Grant. And it's been a pleasure having you on Cloud HCM Talk Radio. Many thanks for joining us today and providing the information on the benefits and challenges of building an enterprise cloud HCM system when all you have are simply words. So thank you for sharing that with our listeners today. And it would be great having you back on a future show to learn about any updates to Oracle's digital assistant for Cloud HCM. And it would be great to see if, you know, where this goes and hear more from you. So I hope you'll join us again for another show. And many thanks.
Absolutely love to. Thank you.
And as Grant pointed out, if you want to learn more about chatbot skills and Oracle's digital assistant, please visit the Getting Started page at the shortened URL, bit.ly/OD D, lowercase o, lowercase c. And as Grant pointed out, you're going to find technical material there on how to quickly come up to speed with the key concepts and the basic terminology of Oracle's digital assistant, as well as hands-on tutorials, reference documents, tips and tricks from the Tech Exchange, videos, community forum, and more. So please check out this page for more great information. And for a high-level overview of Oracle's digital assistant, please visit the solutions page by going to the URL oracle.com/DA. And here you're going to find product details about the digital assistant platform, including PDFs, a data sheet, and videos. So please visit the site for more detailed information. Please let us know if you have any questions about our show today, or if you would like to share ideas for topics you'd like to hear on a future show. You can simply drop us an email to cloud-hcm-talk-radio_ww@oracle.com with any comments or suggestions. And we look forward to hearing from you, so please be sure to drop us a note. Thank you for tuning in today to hear about the benefits and challenges of building an enterprise cloud HCM system when all you have are simply words. We hope you enjoyed the show and found the information relevant for your Oracle Cloud HCM service. I'm Frank Howe, and you've been listening to Cloud HCM Talk Radio. Please join us again soon on another Cloud HCM Talk Radio show. Until then, take care.